Ashley blesses that song. We'll talk about the light tonight. If you'll turn to John chapter 1, I want to talk for a few minutes about the light. John chapter 1, and this got brought up last night in the concert we went to about the light, and it kind of got me thinking really about how important the light is and what light really does. You realize we cannot sustain life without light. Plants, animals, mankind cannot sustain life without light. We have to have light. That's why I would hate to live in Alaska, because there's certain times of the year that it's months of darkness, and that would be horrible to be in months of darkness. I mean, for no light to be there. That would just be so, I think, depressing. Thank God for the light. You know how your mood is altered by the way the day is? You wake up on a cloudy day, it's been proven it alters your mood, because the light stimulates us. And when the light's not there, that's why Christian took a 4-hour nap today. She never does that. But she took a 4-hour nap. So I wake up, I feel terrible because there was no light. So the darkness lulled her to sleep. That's why it's hard for us to get up on rainy mornings. It's not because it's raining. It's because our bodies are responding to that dark grayness. So there is something to that. John chapter 1. Have you found it? This is St. John we're talking about. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning. Is that God speaking or is that somebody's phone? That's kind of funny. In the beginning. Look at your neighbor and say, in the beginning. What does that mean, in the beginning? Don, if I said, what is the beginning? Define beginning. How would you define it? The start. Starting place. So in the beginning, in the starting place, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now look at verse 3. All things, not some things, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by God. All things. Nature itself points to a Creator. We know this. The animal kingdom, the oceans, the mountains, the land escape, the skies, space, outer space, the clouds, the wind, everything points to a Creator. And there is nothing that was made that wasn't made by God. We can say, well, God didn't make the Empire State Building. Man made it. Who made man? God. Well, that doctor saved my life. God didn't save my life, the doctor. Well, who made the doctor? God. It all goes back to God. You know, there are mountain ranges, as you have heard of, mountain ranges underneath the ocean. Miles down, there's ranges of mountains. Who made that? God. You ever saw the Blue Ridge Mountains, the road, the parkway, how beautiful that is? Man can't plant mountains. God created that. Now, for those who say, yeah, but look at that field of trees that are all lined up. Man planted those trees. Yes. Once again, who created man? God. Who created the seed? God. The seed had to come from somewhere. Man can't make a seed. The seed comes from God. So everything we see was made by God, which should point us to, you know what? If God made that sun and made that moon and made those stars and made everything that I see and everything that I touch, He made the air I breathe. The air I breathe, God created. He spoke it forth. The exact mix of oxygen and nitrogen that we breathe, God created that. If God made all of that, God is able to give me the victory, give me the power, give me the healing, give me whatever I need in life, God is able to bring that into my hands, because God created everything that I see. God created me. Just like with baby Sarah having the kidney removed, there's still one kidney there. That's plenty enough for God to sustain her all of her days. Plenty enough for her to live the rest of her days a normal, prosperous existence. Because God made Sarah. And God made that kidney. And God made all the organs. And God made all that she consists of. God created that. It's very important to recognize everything was made by God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, I've taught on this before, if you remember, a while back, on what the word comprehended mean. We think when we read this that comprehend here means that understanding, but it doesn't mean understanding. You have to look in the original Greek to see what this means. Comprehended does not mean understanding here. The word comprehended means seize, possess, or overtake. Now that changes the whole revelation of this verse. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness could not overtake it, could not possess it, could not seize it. The light of Jesus that came on the earth was greater than every shadow of darkness that had inhabited it before. Darkness couldn't stay where the light of God walked. It changed everything. Every time light shined, darkness left. Darkness was overtaken by the light of Jesus. Everywhere that revelation came forth, darkness had to flee. Blinders had to fall. Eyes had to see. Ears had to hear. Every time revelation of the light came, the darkness that bound man was obliterated in that moment, and everything was opened up brand new. Light cannot be overcame or swallowed by darkness. Because even in the pitch black of darkness, the smallest molecule of light will show up. I read this as a fact in a book I have. It's supposed to be a fact. And I've said this before. That on a pitch dark moonless night, you know, if you can't see the moon, on a dark night, a person can stand up on a mountaintop, and a person 50 miles away on another mountaintop could see the strike of a match. That's what they said. That's how powerful a little bit of light is in total darkness. A little bit of light. That makes sense to me, because we can see the sun, who's 93 million miles away, right? Or the stars, who's billions of miles away. So why can't we see a match 50 miles away? I'd say we probably could. That little bit of light. Well, what was the light? It was Jesus. The light came to point people to Him. When we're in darkness, we can't comprehend where we're going. Let me have a volunteer here. Let's see. Volunteer. Barbara, come up here. Come on. I ain't going to make you fall back, okay? All right, take my hand. Come up here, man. Now, I want you to close your eyes and trust me. Just keep your eyes closed. Let's spin around a couple times real slow. I won't get you all dizzy. Okay. Just, now, walk with me. Just walk. Keep your eyes closed. I got you. That's not very fun, is it? You can't see where you're going, can you? You don't know what's in front of you. Just keep walking. Okay, do you have any idea where you're at? Where do you think you're at in the church? Open your eyes. See where you're at? All right, now see, when we're in darkness, we have no idea where we're going. We can't clearly see. Thank you, Barbara. Barbara can't see normally anyway, like me. That was really bad, darkness. But when we're walking in darkness, we don't know where we're going. We have to just somehow hope we don't trip over something or fall over something. We're total. I thought about how awful it would be. Everybody said Little House on the Prairie in the series. Remember when Mary Ingalls went blind? She went from being able to see to total blindness. And how her life changed. She had to learn everything new. She had to learn how to walk, how to feel things, how to hear noises, how to count steps. Everything changed because she went from a world of light to a world of darkness. She couldn't see no more. Spiritually speaking, that's where we are at. When we do not have the light of Jesus, we are just walking in complete darkness. We don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what's around us. We don't know what trap is before us, but when the light shines, and all of a sudden when Barbara opened her eyes, she had a clear picture, clear for her, clear picture of where she was. I can make fun of you because I can't see either, Barbara. She had a clear picture, I guess you can see good, I'm sorry. Clear picture of where she was. We must have, here's what the light of Jesus does. It shows us where we were and leads us out from where we were. I was bound by sin. I was bound by shame. I was bound by guilt. I had no hope. I had no future. I had no expectation. I had no faith in anything. I didn't believe in anything in darkness. You just don't believe in anything. But then when the light shines, all of a sudden you see clearly the light of Jesus. Matthew, do me a favor. Go back there and turn my lights off for me just a minute in the sanctuary. Give me your phone. Thought I had mine on me. Hang on a minute. All right, turn all the lights off. pretty dark, huh? Except for the sound. See, you see Jeremy, yeah? Woo! Hallelujah! Can y'all see me? See the light? You know where I'm at by the light, see? See that face? Now look how dark it is in this room. This is Jesus. You're in your darkness. He shines the light. He shines the light. All you have to do is follow this light. You know where I'm going by the light. I know you might see a little shadow, but you can really see the light, right, where I'm going. I'm in front of Melanie. I'm in front of Amanda. Follow the light. This is spooky, isn't it? Anybody scared? All right, Matthew, thank you. Turn the lights back on for me. Wow, isn't that better? Don't you hate in your home when the power goes out? You don't appreciate light till you lose your power. I actually get claustrophobic in darkness if it's too dark. I'm mailing, get some candles. This year I get fussy. It gets harder to handle. You should know where they were. Get the light. I don't like it. Get some light in this house. She's prepared. You know what I do when the lights go out? And Melanie suggested, and it was a good suggestion. Go to the carport, turn my headlights on. Hey, I can breathe again. You know why? Because darkness truly almost has a choking effect. Because you can't see nothing. It's almost, I've got to get to some light where I can see again. Darkness can choke you out. Spiritually speaking, darkness chokes us out because we can't clearly see where to go. People ask this as a pastor, young people and older people, they ask me this. How do you know Jesus is the way? I mean, how do you just know that? There's a lot of religions. What if Buddha's right? What if Gandhi's right? What if, you know, the Jews are right? What if the Muslims are right? How do you know truth? How do you really know that? You know what they're doing? They're searching for the light. They're searching for something to lead them out. And that's why it's important that we preach Jesus being the light. Because people will gravitate toward any light they see if it thinks it leads them somewhere out of where they're at now. That's why that young people are such an age of influence. They're trying to find truth for themselves. And I encourage that. I realize my three children have to really understand and grasp Jesus for themselves. They can hear me preach it. They can be raised in that kind of home. But they have to, all three, genuinely grasp it for themselves before they really see it. They can't just see the light because Dad says there's the light. They've got to see it for themselves. And when you ever see the light for yourselves, it brings you out of your darkness forever. And you know it's truth. Once you see it, you know that it's truth. Just like growing up in church, as God gives new revelation and new knowledge and grows you, you know, out of things, you see the light. You know, you're like, you know, I was in that, but that's not right. God has shed new light to bring me out of that. But some people don't want to follow the light because they're comfortable in the position they're at. But the light always leads us to truth. It always leads us to truth. And that's what we want as Christians, is truth. I want God's truth in my life. Jesus came as a light, and that darkness could not choke it out. Let me see your Bible, Melanie. Sorry. Left off on verse 5, right? Look at skip down to verse 11. No, verse 9. 9 is a very key verse. That was the true light, talking about Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know what the scripture is telling us here? That the light of Jesus is equally available to every single person that comes into the world. You may say, what about somebody who's never heard about him? Another country? I understand that. But you know that God put an innate desire in every human being to search out truth. Every human comes to a point in their lives, a crossroads, whether that's 12 or 15 or 18 or 21 or 30 or 40, wherever that is, every human being comes to a crossroads of truth. And they begin to search out, there's got to be more than this. I even heard Tom Brady on an interview talk about this, and I was surprised because of the smug look. But he talked about this with one of the reporters, sports guys. He said, you know, I look at my life and what I've accomplished and where I'm at, and I kind of think there's got to be something more than this. There's got to be something more than this. See, every human has that instinct that God put there to search and to find truth. He doesn't make it hard. We wake up and see creation. We see a child born. We see a wife or a husband brought to our lives. We see the blessing of God. We see our feet walk and our hands raise and our eyes see. All the miracles of life we see. It's not hard. God brings it and makes it very clear that there's something bigger than us. And so every human, this light is available. It doesn't mean everybody will be saved, but it means the light is available equally to every person that will look for it. And you know what? I truly believe the Muslim or the Jew or the Buddhist or the Hindu, whatever religion they are, if they cry out and say, I know there's someone and a message and something bigger than me, and I don't know what it is, but God, show me. Do you not think God honors that request and that submission? And God begins to show them truth? I do. I believe the Jewish person that is growing up in traditional Judaism that doesn't recognize Christ the Messiah, I believe when that Jewish person begins to cry out, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I hear about Jesus, don't really believe in him, but God, if this is truth, show me. Because I do feel something's missing in my life. You know what's happening? The light is drawing them. See, that light of God is beginning to stir something in that Jewish person, to draw them to something more than where they're at now. Everybody don't find it automatically or right away or at the same time, but there's a light that draws us, and we just can't get away from it. We just can't shake it. We know there's something more. The world knows there's something more. This is why in other countries, the gospel is so received a lot more freely than it is here in our own nation. You know why? Because people all over the world are hungry for something more than where they're at now. They're hungry. People all over the world of different religions, you go into those nations, if you're talking about someone loves them unconditionally, someone wants to save them, heal them, rescue them, that God's alive and well, God will touch them, bless them, restore them, heal them, rescue them from hell, they'll begin to listen. Wow, your God does that? Who's your God? Begin to tell me. They're hungry for. They're hungry for the truth. They're hungry for light to find them in their darkness. And here in America, we have light all over the world, all over our nation. We have light on every street corner. Yet, America seems to reject it and not want it. They seem to reject that light. Don't want to hear it. And you can feel that. You ever try to witness someone about God and you feel the wall go up immediately, the coldness? They don't like that. You know why? Because they're running from the light instead of running to the light. Don't we know that in the light there is safety? In darkness, we don't know where we're going. But in light, everything becomes new. When the lights are flicked, no greater thing when your power goes out than when your power comes back on. You're sitting on the couch. You know, my parents raised me this way during storms. Maybe you were raised this way. Melanie was too. We kind of talk about it now. It's kind of funny because we don't know how to change anything. Maybe it was an act of respect for God, I guess. I don't know. But during storms, I couldn't talk, Carly. You know, bad thunderstorm coming along. Mom and Dad get me in the room. You know, Dad would turn all the lights off, air off, everything go off. So, it's dark, it's hot, and it's boring. And we're in this room. We couldn't talk. Why, lightning's bad. Yeah, it's bad. Why we whisper? I never understood that. And we're just the opposite. When a storm comes to our house, we don't turn nothing off. We just keep going on and pray to God the TV don't blow up. I ain't turning this game off. Lightning will pass. But how many of you was raised that way where you was real quiet in a storm? Turn lights off, he's quiet. Why is that? Was it reverence for God? Woo, you need the power of thunder, the God of thunder. Thor, the God of thunder. Just picking on you, Mom. But I can understand that. I really can. And Melanie's the same way. Her mama could be quiet, couldn't move, couldn't. I mean, well, we could talk. I mean, a little extreme. We could talk. But, I mean, I couldn't get up and go nowhere. I get up. Dad, where are you going? You can't. Don't go to that house. It's storming. Oh. Huh? Well, I couldn't go to the bathroom. I said, they're holding it. The storm ended. Can I go to the bathroom? You got to get electrocuted. Really? Oh. Raised that way, but I guess a lot of people were. And the only person in our home that gets scared of a storm is our golden retriever, bless his heart. Just shakes. Just shakes. He's the only one who's got any sense, you're right. But anyway, I don't know how we got off on that. Oh, the power come back on. Nothing greater than the power coming back on. You're sitting on your couch, dark, all of a sudden, boom, everything comes back. Oh, don't you love it? You hear the little beeps going in the house. Boop, boop, everything popping back on. The lights come on. Thank you, Lord. Illumination again. There's nothing like light. I would have hated to live in the old days before electricity when all they had for light was those kerosene lanterns. How dark that must have been. To have one little lantern in a whole room. Oh, I can. Oh. Here's how I am. Here's how I roll, okay? I like it bright in the day. I mean bright in the day. I like a bright house. I know Bill came by my house one morning, and he told me, he says, man, I went by your house one morning. You had every light in the house on. Because we got a bunch of windows in our house, 15, 16 windows. Like a lighthouse, he said. Basement lights on, kitchen light. I mean, every light in the house lit up 6 o'clock in the morning. Every light in the house lit up. I like it bright in the day, and I like it pitch black at night when I'm sleeping. Mel's got an alarm clock in her room that lights up New York City. That thing is so bright. She has to put it like under her pillow to blot the light out. It's horrible. Man, it's bright. I'm like, honey, it's like one of them Edith Joe signs flashing in the window. I can't go to sleep like that. So she puts it under the pillow. But that's how I am. It's a very good night light, yes. But I like light. And I think most people do like light. When do your thieves come out? At night. Because they don't want to be seen. They use the darkness as a cover for their lives. Spiritually speaking, darkness is a cover for our lives. It's not who we're meant to be or how we're supposed to live. If we'll allow the light of Jesus to illuminate our hearts, illuminate our minds, and even after we're saved, there's still some dark areas in our lives that we need to let God's light expose and bring to our attention that we can walk freely in His light. Because even as Christians, you ever seen on Sunday morning after church, been in the grocery store, and seen men in suits with brown, we don't have them anymore. Well, they do some in convenience stores. Come out the brown bag. They just left church, left deacon meeting, and they're coming out of the convenience store with a brown bag. And they're looking around. I saw them kind of looking around. They're covering their alcohol in darkness. It could be toilet paper, but the way they're looking, probably not. Yes. Sure it was a Sprite, Stacy.
Sure.
But we want to hide things because the darkness covers it. Spiritually, we hide things from our spouses or our children hide it from parents or we hide it from friends. And we want to cover that up because as long as it's covered up, they can't see it. But don't we know that when the light comes and exposes that and we can get rid of that, we can be free of that. There's nothing worse than carrying around shame and guilt. It's much better we just say, God, illuminate it. Here it is. I want to bring it out. And I want to stand before you again in the light and not be a coward in darkness, worrying about who's going to see me and what's going on. And we all have those things in our closet, those dark corners of our lives that, you know, we don't want to by knowing everything we do. We all, because we're humans. I mean, we all have our imperfections. We all have our brown bag moments that we hope nobody is looking. We all have that. And that's not a good feeling to walk in as a Christian, to have to worry about if anybody's looking. Well, you've heard a saying that true character is how you behave when no one is looking. And that scares me out of my mind. Really think about that. When no one is looking, how is our behavior? Wow. When I think about that, I don't like myself so much sometimes, you know, because I'm not always proud of who I am and how I act. I'm not always proud of the person I am, the human being. I'm not always proud of that. So it's made me think, God, you're, that's just a true statement, because it doesn't matter if Beulah sees me. God, your eyes are on me. And man, I think about the eyes of a loving Savior upon me. One of the songs that Carrie Jobe sung last night, it's got a line in there, and Josh sung it last Sunday night, and it's a beautiful song. You love me, redeemed, restored.